certainly appreciate the opportunity to be in the meeting. Have a small part of what the Lord is doing in this place, and we thank the Lord for that. And it's humbling that the Lord would allow us to even handle the Word of God. I thank the Lord for it. I appreciate what the Lord has done and is doing in our midst. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter number 1. I would be remiss not to thank you, and I know a lot of preliminaries sometimes gets bogged down, but I would be remiss not to thank you for the hospitality that you've shown me and my family. We're very, very comfortable in the boat ends. I know, as far as I know, they're not any of them here, but I tell you, I thanked one of them the other day that they let us stay in the house, and it is just very, very comfortable, and thank the Lord for it, and we appreciate the place to stay. And the meals that have been cooked, and I was aggravating Sister Askwitz, was telling her we was getting to enjoy some of her culinary arts. Amen. We'll explain that later, culinary arts. Amen. And so thank the Lord for God's people. And a lot of people have sacrificed to have this meeting. And I appreciate everything that you've given and the prayers that's been prayed and the finances that have been provided, so that we could come here, and I thank you from the depths of my heart. And I appreciate you being in the service tonight. There's people that have, you've made provisions to be here, and I thank the Lord for that. And I trust that God will help you to get exactly what you need in these services during these days. Isaiah chapter number 1, we'll read some of the first verses. If you want to stand out of respect and reverence for the Word of God, I'm going to read several of the verses, so if you don't mind, I know you respect the Word of God, but I'll ask you to be seated when we get through several of the verses. The Bible says in verse number 1 of Isaiah chapter 1, the vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah and Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of your God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I'm full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and delight not in the blood of bullocks and of lambs and of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. You know, when you're trying to work yourself into a frenzy or work yourself to God, all it is vain oblations. That's all it is. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths and calling of assemblies I cannot away with. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting. Let me make a, and listen, I know where I'm at. I'm cognizant of where I'm at. But I'm going to say this. According to the Word of God, every good thing you do before you get saved and right with God is sin.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I understand what the Bible says about seeking, but in your seeking, amen, you better not be playing games with God. You'll end up and die and go to hell, straight to hell. You say, God will have mercy on me because I'm seeking the Lord. God says it's iniquity. Every religious thing they were doing, God hated it. It's nothing to trifle with, friend. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. That's verse 13. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I'm weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. So here's what he recommends they do. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before your eyes. Cease to do evil. I'm not stupid, even though I'm a country fella. The context is what they were doing before. I'm not a dummy. And he called it all evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Now here's what he says. I love this verse. Come now. And let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Mm-hmm. Father, in Jesus' name, I have no other ulterior motive of bringing my family, 10, and with a family it's 12 hours, to New York to preach. And Lord, Brother Tim has not a lot of times told me exactly when I'm going to preach. I've just got to be ready to preach. And the times I preach, that's all I'll give an account for as far as preaching. So, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd make use of this time. Eternity waits in the balances, not because I'm preaching, but because heaven and hell are watching the outcome.
Yes.
And, God, I pray that, Lord, you might help us tonight. Eternal souls hang in the balance.
Yes.
Brother Tim has already informed us. There's people here that are saved. Religion and going to church, sometimes it's just become a game to them. And Lord, just like Israel, God said that become very hateful to him. God, I pray that you'd help us to get serious about the matter of revival. And then we throw out the lifeline to sinners. God, please open eyes. Quicken hearts. Have mercy on us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I'm preaching tonight on the case against you. The case against you. Isaiah opens the book of Isaiah with an indictment against Israel. Isaiah is the man of God for the hour. Isaiah's message was not a message that was readily accepted, but he had a message from God. And he opens this book with not a condemnation like I preached about earlier today. Many of the churches, he would commend them and then condemn them. But he opens it with an indictment against the people of God. God always used his prophets to confront the sin problem and admonish his people to return to God. Now, if I'm anything or claim to be anything from the Lord, it's due to Bible preaching. Brother John, I have had the privilege over the years, I feel, to hear some of the best Bible preachers that there's been around. And God has used it. You know why, young lady? Because the Bible says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. But Brother Dan, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, Brother Ronnie. But they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That's Chuck Swindoll, Charles Stanley. That's your average TV preacher. You think you get more out of them than out of this meeting? You need your head examined. Amen? They don't even know where the Bible's at. Amen? I have no trust for a man that don't know what is the Word of God. I don't have trust for that man. Right. But listen, friend, thank God for the preaching that I've heard. It's preaching that brought me to a knowledge of the truth. It's preaching that convicted me. It's preaching that showed me where I was at. It was preaching, amen, after I got saved, that reproved me of how I was living.
Right. That's good, brother.
Amen. I want to say this, preaching got a hold of my shorts. Amen? Amen? He says, is there anything wrong with wearing shorts? As long as they're worn in the right place, under clothes. Amen? People start wearing underclothes out. Listen, let me help you. I'm a country fella. They're called underclothes. That's right. Underclothes. Amen. It was preaching that got a hold of my heart about those things. That's right. And I thank God for preaching. Isaiah come to them with an indictment, amen. And he called them in chapter number 1 to return unto the Lord. That's why it said Isaiah 58:1, cry out. Spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, the house of Jacob, their sin. We don't want that. We don't want nobody crying loud about our sin. No, buddy. We want people to be real quiet about that. But thank God for preaching, old-fashioned preaching. Did you ever get to hear Brother Rufus Edmondson? You never heard Brother Rufus Edmondson? Him and Brother Don Green, amen. I'm telling you, when they got through preaching, there'd be blood in the cracks, guts on the wall. I called them God's hatchet men. All they did, amen, was get up and preach against sin. I remember Brother Herbert that he mentioned there, amen. There's one thing you say about it, Brother Herbert, amen. Somebody's criticized him one time. I said, yeah, listen, friend, I hear what you're saying. But listen, there's one thing about it. He's against sin. Amen. He wasn't for sin, he was against it.
That's right.
Amen.
And so God brought them into the scene of seemingly a courtroom. And he began to pin the charges. He began to give the results. And he began to call them to return unto the Lord. So I want to look here at these verses of scripture with the help of the Lord. First of all, here's the first indictment he brought against them. Forsaken heritage. My, what a heritage Israel had. They knew God, Peter, like nobody else knew. God had guided them. God had delivered them. God had even started that little nation, amen, of Israel out of the loins of Abraham. It was a miracle of God, what God had done for them. And then when they were down in Egyptian bondage and in slavery, amen, God brought them out. The Bible says, Brother Stephen, with a mighty hand, hallelujah, brought them across the Red Sea. Now they're in a wilderness. What are they going to do there? You can't plow, you can't sow, and the ground produces nothing. But God provided. Can God provide a table in the wilderness? God can, amen. And he did. Hallelujah. Manna came out of heaven, and God sent quails. They said, quails are some of the finest meat that you could have. And listen, they could eat it to the full, amen, as long as they obeyed the statutes of God. And God brought them along. And God brought them and made them a mighty kingdom. And listen, that the whole known world respected at that time, especially during David and Solomon's time. But it soon began by Isaiah's time and even before, that they began to forsake God and forsake their heritage and leave the things of God. You have a real privilege. Now, not all of you have been brought up the same way, but some of you have got a start. That, listen, God has brought you along and brought you into the house of God. You young people, listen to me. God has given you the privilege to be in a Bible preaching church where you got a pastor that cares about you and loves you and preaches you the word of God. Make sure, amen, we have old-fashioned meetings, amen, to challenge your heart. Oh, what an atrocity! What an atrocity it'd be to forsake everything and just throw it away.
Amen. That's right.
That's what Israel did. Forsaken heritage. Notice what the Bible says here. The Bible says, hear, O heavens, in verse 2, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against thee. We got people sitting in this room tonight, in this meeting house. You're nothing more than a rebel. You have the countenance of a rebel. You're marked like a rebel. You look like a rebel. Listen, you have rebel affections. You have rebel attire. And listen, some of you, even though you're dressed modest, in your heart, it is set on rebellion. There may be some here. Listen, Brother Maury, tonight, that listen, friend, if they get a little inkling and a little window of opportunity, they'll fly out the door and never come back. Amen. And forsake everything that they've been taught. You don't realize what an opportunity you've got. You don't realize what a blessing and a privilege that Israel was God's chosen people, but they had rebelled against him. Listen, friend, it dealt with that they had broke a contract. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Rose? See, at Sinai, Israel had entered into a solemn contract with the Lord. In Exodus 19 and 20, they had made a contract. They said, we will not, thou shalt have no other gods before me. No other gods. And they made a contract with the Lord, a covenant as it were. But listen, so quickly, they forgot all about that and rebelled against the Lord. You know what you don't realize tonight is that you're gods. You say, what are you talking about? Every one of us in this meeting house tonight are gods by creation. You didn't evolve out of some kind of primeval soup. Listen, your ancestors didn't swing from a tree, drop off the tree, and then the tail dropped off, and then they went in and went into the men's store, got a suit of clothes, and then went to a college and become a college professor. I'd as soon believe that as believe evolution. But you're not. Listen, you didn't come about by evolution. But the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. Thank God. Amen. And the Bible says when he created that man out of the dust of the earth, amen, he formed man. And then listen, son, he breathed in the man the breath of life and man become a living soul. If you're going to breathe in somebody's nostrils, you got to get pretty close to them. Well, don't lean back, amen. I'm not going to do it to you. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to get pretty close to somebody, amen, to breathe in their nostrils. Somebody said, God lean down and give man a kiss. Amen. He breathed. It's that same word of inspiration. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's the same word. Amen. Hallelujah. It's breathed of God. And so man became a living soul. Don't you realize that you're his by creation? If you're saved, you're his by redemption. Mm-hmm. He redeemed you back to God. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But listen, friend, he didn't just redeem us that are saved. Amen. Hallelujah. He died for every man. Hallelujah. Thank God. I'm glad I can proclaim tonight. Amen. He didn't just die for a few. He just didn't die for the elect. He died for everybody. Jesus loves everybody, sir. Amen. Yeah. And he shed his blood for them.
Amen.
And not everybody's going to get saved. I'm not naive enough to know that. Some of y'all, unfortunately, if you don't quit playing games, you ain't going to get saved.
You better believe it.
But everybody could be saved if they want to be. Mm-hmm. Everybody don't want to be.
Yep.
That's right. But listen, friend, the redemption price has been paid.
Mm-hmm.
And he paid the redemption price. We're his by creation. We're his by redemption. I don't want to get hung up on this. We're his by possession. If you're saved, we're his by possession. Don't you know you're not your own? Don't you know you're bought with a price? Don't you know you are to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's?
Amen.
That'll help your wardrobe. Let me say this. I don't care how sinners come to the house of God dressed. And there's been times, amen, I had to preach to my aisles. Because young ladies that didn't know any better, they'd be on the front row in micro minis. Mm-hmm. Amen. And listen, it left nothing for the imagination.
Right.
They didn't know any better. They needed the Lord.
Right.
What standard does God have for lost people? But if you're saved and you're his by creation and you're his by redemption, you're his by possession, and I'm going to tell you, friend, you ought to know you ought to live different. Some of you that come here, thank God, you're looking around and you're saying, hey, this is pretty nice. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Listen, thank God, you precious lady that dressed in a way that does not attract. Let me preach a little bit on that. Amen. Number one, your body is God's. If you're married, your body's your husband's. If you're a woman. Okay? And the only one that ought to know how my wife's put together is me. So when you get right about this thing, amen, you'll quit dressing in lust-provoking clothes. You are welcome. I just thought you'd
want me. That's right.
You're welcome.
Go ahead.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
God is not pleased with that. We're going to have revival, amen. We're going to have to hear this kind of preaching. You say, what about lost people? I didn't say it. They're welcome to come, amen. They don't know any better. I'm going to tell you one thing. If you expect me, amen, to come up here and not preach on how the Bible says a woman ought to dress, you are crazy. Because the Bible says, the B-I-B-L-E says, that a woman ought to adorn themselves in modest apparel, amen.
Amen.
Let me define that for you. Here be a good definition for it. Long, loose, and flowing would take care of a lot of this lust-creating clothing. Long, loose, and flowing. Since you're listening real good, amen, hallelujah. We got this thing all messed up. We want to drop it down here and bring it up here, amen. You got it all backwards, amen. Hallelujah. You ought to bring it up here and drop it down here, amen. You're all twisted, amen. Listen, friend, if you think a believer ought to dress like that, you've got it all backwards.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
Oh,
yeah. Hallelujah. I didn't have to change my wardrobe and say, hey, mama, we're going to Black Creek, amen. Bring the modest wardrobe. Girls, make sure. Make sure you don't bring, your short shorts, amen. They ain't got none that they wear on the outside, amen.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, you're a male chauvinist pig, amen. Well, you can call me what you want to. I've been called bad names. I'm not proud of that. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I ain't putting up with that. Because I'm going to tell you, my family, to God be the glory, is an advertisement of my preaching.
Amen.
Amen.
My family ain't perfect. My family ain't arrived because their daddy ain't arrived. But I ain't going to put up with that kind of stuff. Amen. And if we think my daughters, if we see my daughters, if there's even an inkling, amen, my wife, amen, she'll ask me or she'll tell me, we ain't wearing that.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
That's good.
That's right.
Amen. If you get a hormone transplant, sir, maybe you could say that. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, it's about time we manned up. I don't want to come to the house of God, amen, and be, guilty or provoked to lust, amen.
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 Lord, help us. Amen. From the beginning of time, amen, man had forsaken God. The Bible says that, listen, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And when he brought them into the courtroom and showed them their forsaken heritage, he said, you know what? The beast have more respect for their masters than Israel had for the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The Bible says in verse number 3, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Mm-hmm. Forsaken heritage. Mm-hmm. You know what an awful thing, Brother Rick? Rick, I have seen over the years, I've been preaching a long time, I've been preaching and watch kids grow up and get married. I'm not a young thing. But I'm going to tell you what, I've seen kids over and over and over again be brought up just like you've been brought up, Rick. And I'm telling you what, watch them forsake everything that they were taught and everything they was taught about the Lord and go out and disgrace their family. Disgrace the church. Amen. God help us. If I could stop one individual by the grace of God, amen, it'd be everything that you could cast in my teeth, amen, from them doing that. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Amen. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Your doing is revealing what you really are.
Amen. Right. Amen.
The comparison was very striking and it was very humiliating. Oxes, asses. We was on a walk today and the sister come out, amen. Listen, I thought a cow was coming out too. I actually, y'all don't tell state police, I pulled a gun, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I was doing that before everybody become a cowboy. Amen. I pulled a gun. I didn't know if he's coming to bite us or not. Amen. Hallelujah. I thought I was too big to eat, but I was kind of questioning it. Amen. And she said, hey, come on, they won't bother you. They'll slobber all over you. Amen. But listen, wasn't it very humiliating to them? They said, God said through Isaiah, you've known God, but the oxes and the asses have more respect to their masters than you do. So God brings the indictment against Israel in verse number 4. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of, he doesn't let up, a seed of evildoers. Oh, come on, Brother Rose, Brother Tim, give us some breathing room, amen. Let up on us a little bit. Where's the salve? Isn't there a balm in Gilead, amen? Hey, you get relief from your sin, you'll find there is a balm in Gilead, amen. Hallelujah. But God sometimes, amen, has you laying on heavy, amen. And that's what Isaiah was doing. He said, your children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. And they are gone away backward, amen. See, they were oppressed and weighed down with the load and the weight of their sins. See, sin, listen to this, don't miss this statement. Sin always sits heavy on the conscience, if you got one.
Yes, it does.
Some of you are about to get over your conscience. When you sear the conscience. And when you brand animals, you take that hot branding iron and you... And what it does, it kills the cells.
Mm-hmm.
And they never have any feeling in that area ever again. There's a bunch of people that God has seared their conscience. What you're doing with sin, what you don't realize... You trifling around with sin and forsaking this godly heritage and forsaking the Bible. And maybe some of you going out, amen. Are you listening to me? Going out after hearing preaching. And thank God you're here. Some of you are an answer to many of these people's prayers. But you go out and lay in beds of iniquity and sin. You're sinning against your conscience. You're killing your conscience. Bit by bit. Little by little, you say a society accepts it. Hey, I tell you, you're killing your conscience is what you're doing.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's good.
Yes, sir.
I know society doesn't say, it says adultery don't matter, fornication don't matter, sodomy don't matter, Licentious don't matter. Listen, all the wickedness and ungodliness and the pornography and the filth and the ungodliness and the lying and the cheating, they're doing it every day in Washington, D.C. And then they try to pass laws for us to stop me and you from lying and cheating. And they do it every day. Bunch of wicked, filthy, ungodly old men, it's up there. And filthy women. But I know you think this is still a Christian nation, a godly nation. And you can't wait for 2024 so we can get a playboy, fornicating, about 80-year-old pervert back in. And you think that's the answer.
It ain't the answer.
I tell you, friend, they are promoting that lifestyle. They love that lifestyle. They finance that lifestyle. I'm not mad about anything. Some of you think I am. I'm not mad. Listen, I didn't come up here, amen. Listen, all irritated and raw. Now, I'm telling you one thing, friend. Listen, it aggravates my soul sometimes. You try to grub out, Brother Tim, a living for your family. You don't try to take subsidies and all that, amen. And then people, amen, shack up, have illegitimate children, and the government finances it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, they do.
And they're for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm telling you, we're a nation laden with iniquity.
Right. Yeah.
When I went to the sodomite parades and preached against that abomination, you say, why? Because there's kids there.
Right.
Don't you think they need a message?
Right.
Don't you think they need a message of grace?
Right.
Don't you think those kids marching in them parades need a message of the mercy of the Lord and that God can change their lives and save their souls and listen, get them out of the miry clay? Sure they do. But the police are there to protect that crowd.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because one of the biggest orchestrators and financiers is from my area, is Eastman, used to be Eastman Kodak.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, there ain't no sense in putting your head in the sand. This ain't a God-fearing nation. It's not in God we trust. It's all gone to hell and the devil.
Right.
You say, you're being unkind, friend. You better get your head out of the sand. We have a forsaken. You think about, Brother Stephen, the godly heritage we had. Now you say, well, there was a lot of men deists and all that, amen. But I'm going to tell you, there was men that, listen, friend, they wasn't worshiping Mohammed. That started this country. And listen, founding fathers, and many of them loved the Lord. And there were many of them like Patrick Henry. If you study Baptist history, amen, hallelujah, God used Patrick Henry in a great way. And God used Thomas Jefferson, whatever he was. He went into a Baptist church and he said, this is the finest form of a republic, amen, I've ever seen, amen, in a Baptist church, amen. And those men, amen, there was many of them that loved God. And they wasn't fighting against God. But look how far we've gone. Abortion's at an all-time high.
Yes, sir.
Perversion's on the rise. Adultery. The gristmill of the divorce courts, amen, is like a revolving door in America. Forsaken heritage. You say, what about Israel? Amen. I'm not preaching to Israel. I'm not in Jerusalem tonight. I'm preaching in Black Creek Baptist Church. Amen. Hallelujah. Sin sets heavy on the conscience. You say, but Brother Rose, everybody accepts my sin. But what about when you're all alone at night? And what God is using to grind on your conscience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sin.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
Chained to the bone down. And I hope God sees that you're all bound up. Mm-hmm. And you're entangled with the chains of sin.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But your conscience, is a precious thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's things you can't get saved without. You can't get saved without a conscience. And once God's turned you over, I said God's turned you over. See, God didn't give me the right to turn anybody over.
That's it.
But once God's turned you over, there ain't no coming back.
Lord help.
Sin says conscience. But I'm so glad. You say, is there any hope, Brother Rose? I'm so glad for Matthew 11:28. Come unto me.
Amen.
All ye that are laden, that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the yoke of his service, the yoke of salvation. Why don't you get yoked up tonight with Christ? Amen. And I'm telling you, it's so much more lighter than your sin. Oh, Brother Rose. If I got right with God, I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that. I'm going to tell you, if you get saved by the grace of God, you wouldn't miss it so much. But Steve, do you miss it? Do you miss the old life? It brought nothing but grief and heartache, Brother John. Hallelujah! I'm telling you, friend, I don't miss it. By the grace of God, brother from Knoxville, I'm not going back. Amen. Hallelujah. No, amen. Do I miss the loneliness? Do I miss the thoughts of suicide? No, I don't miss any of it, amen.
Hallelujah.
I was brought up in such a godly home. It's Bible all the time. I thought my dad and family devotions. I'm talking about family devotions. And I was born in 1970. And we have family. I thought my dad had never quit praying during family devotions. I thought he was the longest prayer I ever heard. Many times I'd go to sleep. And I'll tell you what, my life was so miserable. What a heritage I had. One time I can remember, amen. And I didn't take no barbiturates or anything like that, amen, to put me out in eternity. But I'm going to tell you one time when my parents walked in and I had Dad's 44 Magnum cocked and up my mouth. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God that God had mercy on me. God should have let me, Brother John, Sister Asquith, go to hell for the sins of my youth, for the sins that I've done. But God had mercy on me. Israel thought during this time, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah, verse 1. This was all times of prosperity in Israel.
Yeah.
Everything was hunky-dory. Everything was on the uptick. But they had forsaken everything of God.
Yeah. Right.
During these kings, if you're not careful, prosperity will do that to you.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
The Bible says several places
The Proverbs comes to mind. Deuteronomy is another. You better be careful when there's times of prosperity. You say, Brother Rose, we're in a recession. Don't you know who's in the White House? I may not have a TV, but I'm not an ignoramus. Amen. I know Biden's in the White House. I know gas is almost $4 a gallon. I know my grocery bill's up over $100. Amen. I understand all of that. But I'm telling you, most of us are living the best we've ever had it. And some of us are the farthest from God we've ever been.
Oh, yeah.
Forsaken heritage. Number two, fatal wound. Verses 5 and 6. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. So God gives a picture here, Brother Maury, of an individual that has literally, seemingly, figuratively has been beat to death. Now, who was it that was smiting Israel? It was God that was smiting Israel. He would smite them with plagues. He would smite them with enemy nations. He would smite them with the same things that they used and God used to drive out the enemies. Amen. Now God had turned his hand against them. Now let me ask something to you tonight. Whose side are you on? There ain't no neutral ground here.
Come on.
Amen. Whose side are you on? God ain't playing. God's not playing games. And I'm going to tell you, I don't play games when I come preaching to you. I didn't come here to waste your time. I'm not being smart because I love you folks. I don't want my time wasted. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you what, God's not playing games. God wasn't playing games with Israel. He said he was literally beating them and smiting them with wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. It was a picture of a man that had literally been beat up, that had been pulverized, amen. The testimony of the wound, amen. And then the totality of the wound. The Bible says the whole head is sick. What's your head full of? You say, well, brains, of course, amen. Well, probably very doubtful, amen. Some of you, it's very doubtful. Amen. They say some of the smartest of us, amen, only use Brother Tim, and you're an engineer. That's what they told me today. I can't believe it. But they say you're an engineer. But the smartest of us only use maybe 10% of our brain. What's your head full of? Filth.
Oh, come on.
Wickedness. There may be men right in this room that can look at some of these beautiful young ladies and beautiful women, amen, that are modestly dressed. They're not trying to attract attention to themselves, but you can literally, because you're so full of filth, literally undress them in your mind. Because your mind is full of filth. I'm telling you, the whole head is sick. Some of it's full of a bunch of nonsense. Preconceived notions.
Right.
Well, God's going to wait on me. God's not going to have the rapture until I get right with God. You might be fooled.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
What's your head full of? How about rent? God help us.
here, right here, is a battleground.
Yep.
It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. It don't matter how long you've been practicing the Spirit-filled life. Brother John Mark, I know there's a lot to battle in your life, but I wish I'd have never seen. I wish, I don't want to kill my testimony, but I wish I'd never seen a pornographic magazine. I wish I'd have never been introduced to that at a Christian school. I was introduced to pornography. I wish I'd never seen that. I wish I'd have been so ignorant on our wedding day, amen. Listen, friend, that I would have blushed.
Amen.
Her minds are so full of a bunch of filth and nonsense.
Yes.
Brother Morris said it right. People are on so much, the Bible calls it sorcery. But I tell you, oh, Brother Rose, you don't want us on blood pressure medicine and stuff like that, amen. But the Bible, I'm talking about mind-altering drugs. That people are on today, amen. I'm telling you, God's greater than all of that. He's great. And listen, I believe in a God that is greater than all that. But I'm telling you, people come into our churches, their minds are in a fog. Their minds are in a fog because of the dope they're on. I'm not being mean. I'm not trying to get in trouble because this goes out over a podcast or something like that, amen. But I wasn't raised on Ritalin. I got a red tail end. My parents wouldn't even let me lay in the aisle and sleep during church when I was a little kid. They said, sit up. Pay attention. Now, Brother Tim, I know he's doing that all in jest, amen. But my poor little woman, amen, for years, and when I didn't preach, amen, we didn't get nothing out of the services, amen. Running our kids in and out. Not the children's church. Training them to stay in church. I'm not being mean, and I love you precious people, and some of you I'd trust. Some of you, not so much. But when I go into a church I'm unfamiliar with, and they ask to take my kids to the nursery, and my kids to children's church, I say, no, thank you. They'll stay with me.
Amen.
It ain't worth thank you happening. And then it's done too late. Amen. So the people say, they say, well, except for David, we'll exclude him, amen. But listen, we're batting a pretty good average, amen, here, hallelujah. 6 out of 7, I don't know what a percentile that is. We're working on this thing, amen. But I'm going to tell you, they say, have your kids set in charge. You wouldn't be willing to do it.
Come on.
Go ahead, man.
Come on.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be willing to do it.
That's exactly right.
Because we trained them.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
But if you're not careful, Josiah, your head will get full of all kinds of preconceived notions and ideas.
Yep.
That's the reason I have a hard time at Bible school and stuff like that. I don't want people to mess with my kids.
Right.
I make it public knowledge.
Amen.
I don't want you messing with my kids.
Yes, sir.
Amen? You'll talk them into something, amen. I may never talk them out of it.
Right. Well, that's right, bro.
But some of you have got preconceived notions. Some of you have got religion, amen. You don't have any salvation and you're sick. What you need to realize, your whole head is sick, amen. Hey, listen, friend, there is no soundness in it whatsoever. None. God help us, saint. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. God began dealing with Israel. He said, you're sick all over. You're sick all over.
from the top of the head to the sole of the foot, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They've not been bound up, neither mollified with ointment. He said, the whole thing is finished. They're about to go to judgment, friend. You know where you're about to go? Judgment. Why are you preachers preaching like this? Because this is serious. Yeah. Revival, serious. Yeah. Salvation, serious.
Yes, it is.
It ain't a game.
No.
No soundness in it. Wounds, bruises, putrefying sores, the totality of the wound. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. Listen here, look up here. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. Do you think that it missed you? He said, none.
Amen.
There is none that doeth good. Listen, listen to me, lest you misunderstand. Your seeking is not good in God's sight. It's not good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Go ahead, brother.
Amen.
There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. You know what a sepulcher is, don't you? It's got dead things in it. It's got things that are rotten and putrefying and smelly and grotesque. My mom was slid inside a mausoleum there outside just a few miles from my house, across the hill from my house. My mom has slid in a mausoleum for over 3 years. If we was to pull her out, Brother Stephen, Brother Peter, that would not look like my mom, the mom I remember. You know why? She's been gone for over 3 years. Your throat is an open sepulcher. With your tongues you have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, whose feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. When I used to do jail ministry, amen, I handled it a little bit different. Brother Morey, I know, listen, we can jee-haw. But I'd go and visit sinners and prisoners, amen, people I was asked to. And buddy, I, with the Lord's help, they put them under the load. And this, I quote them scripture, and I tell them how rotten and how sorry they were and how low down and how God was displeased. I say goodbye. You know why? You have to find out from God first you're lost.
That's right.
Amen.
Before you can get saved. I wonder in some. Thank God for Brother Morey. But I'm going to tell you, I wonder in some of these jail ministries, amen. If you tally up the numbers, it looks like some of these prisons ought to be shutting down.
You're exactly right.
Amen. You know what's happening? I told one time, amen, he was down in South Carolina. I said, why don't you let me come down there and preach? Amen. Oh, Brother Rose, amen. Hallelujah. Look, I tell you, I'd like to come down there and preach, amen, to him. Amen. I'm talking about the totality of the wound. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faint. What about it, saint of God? How long has it been since you've seen your sin that you're dabbling in and consorting with, amen, as a believer, that it's repulsive to God? We got our little pet sin. I might bring in a cage one year, amen, and our little pet sin we keep.
Uh-oh.
Amen. A little pet sin. The torment of the wound. He said there was wounds, there was bruises, there was putrefying sores. Amen. It had to do with somebody that was severely beaten or scourged up for crimes whose wounds had never been dressed. Amen. And they were about to die. God was smiting Israel and smiting his. God's using the word of God. God loves you. Yes, he does. But listen, friend, he's using the word of God to smite your old wicked, hard heart until you realize and come to terms with the gospel. So he said in verses 7 and through 9, there was fiery destruction. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city, except the Lord of hosts has left unto us a very small remnant. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been likened to Gomorrah. Surely you know what happened to them. God burned them straight into hell. Do you think America's going to get by? I'm not being unkind. People have probably done this in here, and I am not trying to tear open wounds. That's not my purpose at all. But we have used abortion as the sacrament.
That's right.
Of sexual perversion.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right, brother.
And you no longer have to have them tear the arms off, amen. You take a pill.
That's right, brother.
Sodomy, an abomination under God. Amen. I mean, it's everywhere. We might even have in this room, God forbid, but people no doubt that have suffered in their own home of people that have dabbled in perversion, whether by stepdads or by uncles. Listen, friend, same. God help us! I'm telling you, friend, you think God's gonna let us get by? That was what was going on inside of Gomorrah. Men with little babies, amen. Men with peace. I mean, years ago, I was listening to the radio driving a truck, filthy garbage out of Chicago or New York. They's talking about doing stuff with beasts, with Doberman pinchers.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was years ago.
Yeah, it's coming.
On public radio. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding? Mm-hmm. Now we got dog moms.
Yeah.
And we no longer, amen, are proud of having kids. Wow. Amen. We want to put how many cats we got in the back of our vehicle.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm thinking about giving away a few. Can you, because this USPS will have to ship them. Amen. How about it, Rebecca? Amen. Amen. But people are so infatuated today. I'm not saying go home and kick your dog. I'm not saying, amen, go home and throttle your cat. Listen, if you got one, at least feed it, amen. Pat it on the head every now and then, amen. That's what I do with mine. Sometimes when they ain't running from me, I pat them on the head, amen. And say, go your merry way and get your hair off my pants, amen. 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 Take care of them. But it's a weird infatuation with peace today.
Come on.
Yes, it is. You're right.
Exactly. I'm not in the dark about what's going on. Because since we've let, I'm not trying to get in the gutter, but since we've let everything else go, it goes down the drain straight off of bestiality.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come on, preach it. And we went long past sodomy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You think God's pleased with that? He says, I'm going to deal with you as I did Sodom and Gomorrah.
Uh-huh. Right. Oh, Lord.
You think you're going to get by God's judgment? You think you're going to trifle with God dealing with you and smiting you and even lovingly wooing you to Christ, amen, and yet you sit there with a hard face, a hard heart, a heart that's like an Adamic stone, amen, and you will not get right with God, and you will not pray, and you will not seek the Lord scripturally. Listen, friend, you are treading on dangerous ground. Far destruction. Isaiah may have been looking ahead to the invasion of Sennacherib when Judah was devastated by the Assyrian army and only Jerusalem was spared at that time. But I'm telling you, if you forsake God like Israel forsook God, then you will pay for forsaking God by being desolate. Your pastor told you last night, what if that drawing leaves you? What if you never feel His touch again? What you say, what are you doing right now? Reasoning with you.
That's right.
What if your heart is not no longer warm to the truths of the gospel? You better think about it.
Yes, Jesus,
please. Fiery destruction. Fruitless worship. Verses 10 through 15. A comparison was made between Israel and Sodom and Gomorrah in verse number 10. The Bible says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom." He's dealing with Judah. And he said, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom." Now, some of you may think that Brother Tim and I, or Brother Asquiths, are hard preachers. What if we come in and said, "I've got a message for you bunch from Sodom"? That's what Isaiah did to God's chosen people. He wasn't on the top 10 list. Nobody wanted to listen to his podcast. Nobody was paying $10 a tape. And even when they signed the golden tape, amen. Listen, friend, it stayed in the rack because nobody wanted it. He said, "You listen up, you rulers of Sodom." He said there in verse number 10, "Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah." You better give heed to the law of God, friend. The Bible says in verse number 11, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks and or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me." This is how they worshiped, and God said, "I hate it."
Yes, sir. Yes.
Is your worship, listen to me, saints of God, is your worship hateful to God? If you don't have His righteousness, you don't know nothing about it. How can you worship God and you don't even know Him? How can you have sin in your heart, sit there with sin in your heart, and God smiting you and smiting you and smiting you with the Word of God and chastening you and reproving you, and you will not get right? You know what? I think sometimes some of y'all like us picking on sinners, so to speak, because it gives you an out. But like I explained to the brother, revival is for God's people.
That's right.
How long has it been since you bumped your knees on the carpet, amen, and said, oh God, I want to repent in your presence, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination to me. Your new moons and Sabbaths and calling of assemblies I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. God's about fed up, friend. And when you spread forth your hands, you know who worships God? I know what the brother was saying, amen. Hey, listen, I don't do it because it's South thing. Hardly anybody, brother, hardly anybody except in some hokey pokey churches, amen. Hardly anybody down South. A lot of places don't worship no more. Amen. But you can't lift your hands. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, that's who's going to ascend into the presence of God.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
But when your hands are full of blood, like you dealt with, amen, God says, I cannot away with. How is it, Nick? How's it stand with you? When some of these precious souls come, they, you know, I feel so sorry. Thank God for you precious ones that come out to the services. But I'm sorry so many times that we live such a life, sometimes that can be a stumbling block to sinners and give them an excuse to hold off from getting right with God because they're looking at our sorry carnal lives.
That's right.
We say all the time as a cop out, and sinners say it, well, that's so-and-so. Don't he go to your church? If he does, I'm as saved as he is. But the sad thing of it is, there's some truth to it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. May God help us. God's bringing us into the courtroom just like he did Israel. And he says, I am tired of this formalized, phony worship. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. But they's going through the motions, wasn't they? They's going through the motions. On with the program. On with the sacrifices. Offer up the incense. On with the program. Let's just be honest. In the day and hour in which we live, a lot of preachers, they don't need God. They need him, but they don't need him to do what they're doing. They don't need him to do what they're doing. Joel Osteen don't need God to do what he's doing. You say, Brother Rose, you shouldn't say something like that, amen. I should say something about that. They're phony. They're paper mache. They're make-believe. Nobody's teeth that white. God help us, amen. And so he says, you've got fruitless worship. Let me say this, and I'm going to close. Sacrifices alone can never please God. Along with outward observance, God wants three things. 1 Samuel 15:22, he wants inward obedience.
Psalm 51, verse 17, he says, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. He wants a broken heart. Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, this is a message in and of itself, amen. He wants a godly walk.
That's right.
So what's going on in here, saint of God, or to affect what's going on out there? If we have revival, amen, we ought not go back to the same way we've been living before.
That's right. Exactly.
Yes,
sir. Yes.
Amen. God preferred purity of heart instead of external homage. He said, you are observing vain oblations. Why then call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? This people honors me with their mouth, honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's what it says. And you know what God's going to do to all that crowd? They're going to say one day to the Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name?
Yes.
You know who that is? Preachers.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Didn't we prophesy in thy name? There's a lot of preachers that are going to go to hell.
Yes, sir.
There's a, let's put it right down where it, a lot of Baptist preachers are going
that's
to go
right.
to hell.
That's right.
Independent, yeah. fundamental, blah, blah, Baptist.
They're going to go straight to hell. Didn't we prophesy in thy name? In thy name, that's big miracle preachers. Didn't thy name cast out devils? And in thy name did many wonderful works? That's big ministry preachers. And God's going to say, I never knew you. You say, Brother Rose, give me some hope. You know what? And I want to see religious people come to Christ.
That's right.
Are you listening to me tonight? There's more hope probably for some of you that are sitting here that know your life is a shambles.
Yeah.
Your life's a wreck. And you know you're filthy and vile. Nobody has to prove that out. God's got to prove it and condemn you of it. But you know that there's more hope many times for that crowd than there is religious crowd that is starched and polished, amen, and primed and everything else. And God's going to spit them all out into hell. God help us. Israel was only going through the motions, much like the church today. Just going through the motions, going through the motions, going through the motions. But here's the faithful remedy, verses 16 through 18. Here's the faithful remedy. Thank God. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before your eyes. There's got to be repentance. Well, where's repentance, Brother Rose, in the Old Testament? It's all through here, amen. Maybe not the word, but the doctrine's there. Put it away, amen. Sounds like a change of mind to me and a change of heart and a change of direction. Amen. Put away the evil from your doings, from before your eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now here's what I want to do. I don't want to just preach to people, even though the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But I want to somehow be a good reasoner. He brought all these indictments against Judah. He named them one after one. And he didn't let up on them. Then he began to reason with him. He said, come now. With all this evidence, you can't argue against the evidence. You may try. But in the end, ultimately, you cannot argue against it. And he said, come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. So let me reason with some of you. Let me reason with you tonight. I'm thankful that there is a merciful Savior.
He said, I have made a wreck of my life. My life is ending. I don't think I could ever rectify it. I know I can never reconcile it. Well, you know, you're getting warm. Amen. Hallelujah. You're getting warm. And you could never do any of those things. But I'm glad there is mercy and there is grace at the foot of the cross.
Amen, Jesus.
You can come. And he said, reason together, saith the Lord. See, the word reason is a courtroom term, so to speak. It means to decide a case in court. And that's exactly what Isaiah was doing in chapter number 1. He brought them into God's courtroom. And then he began to reason with them. And he said, instead of pronouncing punishment in verse number 18, the judge provided pardon.
Yeah.
I'm telling you one thing. Now, I know we got a lot of crooked judges in America, but I'm talking about the judge of all the universe.
Amen.
And you come into his courtroom, he'll show you all the evidence that's against you, and he'll stack it up. And he'll convince you beyond any reasonable doubt that you are guilty. But you know what? If you'll come to terms with him, you know what he'll do? He'll offer a pardon. You deserve death. The wages of sin is death. But he'll offer you a pardon. Now, pardon's no good unless it's received.
That's right. That's right.
It's no good unless it's received. I usually during this time read from Raven Hill's book on Why Revival Tarries. In England, there was a man called, I think, John Leeds, I believe his name was. He was going to death row. He was going to die that day. The clergyman was reading what was called, Brother Dan, the Consolations of Religion. As they were going, just dull and dry. You're going to a place where you'll never get out and the fire never quits burning. And he was just dull and dry. And he tapped him on the shoulder. He said, what are you reading? He said, I'm reading the Consolations of Religion. He said, sir, if I would listen to his Eve on Ale message by Lost Man, he said, if I believe what you was reading, I would call across England on broken glass to try to get everybody to hear it and speak it with more feeling than you're doing. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it's a serious matter when you face God with your sin. God says, come now. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet. As they take that worm, as it were. And you remember, he was a worm. We've heard that many times here, no doubt, in this church. But they take that worm, that crimson worm there, probably put it in a little cup or a bowl. They take a pestle and they smash those bugs or that worm, amen, to make garment die. And they said that that dye, when you applied it to garments, hardly any fuller, we know it is bleach, okay? Any fuller would wash it out. But he says, though your sins be as scarlet. How about the scarlet sin tonight? All sins are scarlet sin. That though your sins be as scarlet, the Bible says, they shall be as wool. And though they be red like crimson, the Bible said they shall be as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Mm-hmm.
God offers a pardon to you tonight.
Yeah.
A pardon's no good unless it's received and claimed. Salvation's a pardon to you. You say, what's salvation? Salvation, the word literally means deliverance. Savior means deliverer. He's the only one that can deliver you from sin. Nobody else can. There's the case against you. And there's the reasoning that God gave. And you just got to do business with God.
That's right.
Nobody can make you do it. But I'm going to tell you, time's running out for you. It's running out.
That's exactly right.
Amen. Everyone remain quiet.
Let's all pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for your needs. If you're there with someone else, pray for them. Let's take some time and talk to the Lord.